Whether it's your own kids or grandkids or nieces or nephews or friends who have children, isn't it amazing to watch kids grow? Like from the second they're conceived, they're just constantly changing and growing and morphing just all the time. I'm going to show you a picture of, I guess, the cutest kid at our church. This is my newest granddaughter, Abby. And so here's what you need to know about Abby. She's 6 months old, and she is a different person than she was 2 months ago. You wouldn't recognize her 2 months ago. And I mean, that's a third of her life, in fairness. But she's changed so much. And, you know, just a few months ago, she was just laying there, you know. And now she's moving around, and she's trying to talk. And she looks at you when you talk to her, and she's smiling. She's trying to learn to crawl. And that's not going good at all. Because she gets really, like, she gets up, like, on all fours, which is, that's pretty good, you know. But then she starts, like, rocking and moving her stuff around. And I'm coaching her. I'm telling her, remember what I told you? Right, left, right, left. But she just, like, she can't do it. And she gets, like, super frustrated because she moves and she wiggles and everything, but she's going the wrong way. Like, she's only got reverse. And she looks at me, what in the heck? I used to be, I'm coming the wrong. I got a video. Just look how frustrated she is. Watch this. She's trying. Yeah, that came from the other side of the family. But that, listen, crawling is hard, okay? So don't judge. But I have faith. I'm sure that she's going to figure it out. And eventually she will crawl forward. Yeah, and someday, you know what? She's going to stand up. And then she's going to toddle. And then she's going to walk. And she's going to run. And ride a bike, and drive a car, and eventually become president, or cure cancer, or something. And you know why I have that faith? It's because she comes from an incredible gene pool. No, it's not. It's not. It's because God has somehow pre-programmed into her and into your kids and grandkids and nieces and nephews and friends and you. He's wired all of us to grow and to change and to develop. And we don't plan it or even do anything to cause it. It just happens. And part of it is internal, like it's pre-programmed, like some switch flipped in her head that told her it was time to start trying to crawl. But we're also formed by external factors, right? Things that are happening to us, not just in us, things that are happening around us. And honestly, even more amazing than the physical growth and external changes like walking and crawling and growing, even more amazing is the internal changes, the internal growth of not just your body, but of your soul and of your spirit, the real you. So growth is not just how our bodies are changing. Growth is who we are becoming. Because our minds and our souls and our spirits are also constantly growing and changing and being formed all the time. Like clay that is being pressed and squished and shaped into a certain form. So look, I've got Play-Doh here, and you guys will be smelling it pretty soon. But look at this, this is new Play-Doh. So here's the thing about new Play-Doh. It's already shaped like that thing it was in. You see that? It didn't come out of the factory like this. They put it in this can, and now because it was in that can, now it's shaped like this. And when external forces come to bear, they start changing the shape. So watch this. I don't know if you guys know this, but I'm kind of a sculptor. So check this out. Meteor. Well, wait. Hold the applause. The earth. Oh, wait. Watermelon. I can do all of them. I used to be in kids' ministry. Snake. Wait, what's this? If you like that, watch this. Pretzel. Thanks. So we call this shaping, we call this molding of clay sculpture. And we call this molding, this shaping of our souls, spiritual formation. So for the last couple of weeks, we started looking at following Jesus kind of through the lens of intentional spiritual formation. And I've been encouraging this book, and I'll say it again, if you don't have this book, Practicing the Way, John Mark Comer, it's a super great book. Most of what I'm teaching is straight out of that book. So I'd really encourage you to get one of these. You can read, you know, 2 pages a day and stay really caught up, and I think it'll really kind of help you as we're understanding this concept. We've been circling around this thing. We've been easing into this concept for over a year now. I've been secretly, subliminally sneaking words into the messages every week, and I just feel like as a church, we're ready to move forward in this now. A lot of you have noticed we've had a lot of people baptized around here in the last couple of years. A lot of people have been baptized, and these are people that I think are saying, you know, I'm in, man. I said yes to Jesus. I repented. I am following him now. And I said the prayer. I filled out the card. I got baptized. Like, now what? You know, how I want to be a Jesus follower. How do you do that? Like, I need practical steps. And then we have a lot of people, I think, that are saying, well, I've been a Christian a long time and I'm not going to hell. And that's, you know, cool. But I just feel like there's more than just getting out of hell. I don't want to just be, you know, a once a week church goer. I want to be a Jesus follower. I don't want to just live a regular old life with a little Jesus sprinkled in on the weekend. I'm not satisfied just asking God to change my circumstances. You know, I want God to change me. I want him to transform me. I want to be like Jesus. And remember, our spirit, our soul is constantly changing. It's constantly being formed and squished and pressed into a shape, whether it's the shape of Jesus or something else. So whether we know it or not, we're constantly being formed just by the environment that we live in. So last week, we had a lot of fun making fun of Jim and Andrea Eddy because they came from Illinois. But people are moving here from all over, right? In fact, how many of you, raise your hands, how many of you moved here to this area in the last 5 years? Look, it's a lot, right? Okay, well, this would be fun. I'll count to three, yell out where you came from. Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3. Exactly, right? So keep an eye on those people, you know? And it won't be hard. It's not hard to see them because they stick out like a sore thumb, right? These people that have come from someplace else, you can see it. So many, you see it in the car, right? Are you ever driving down the road and you wave at somebody, hey, and they don't wave back? You know what that means? They're not from around here. Yeah. You ever pull up to a four-way stop and you get there at the same time as somebody else? You wave them through and they just go. What is that? Right, because we know here, how do you do it? You pull up to the four-way stop, you go like this at the same time, they go like that, and then go, really, go ahead. Now, when somebody rolls their window down, go ahead, and then at the same time, you both go and crash into each other, right? That's how we do it. You can see it in the car, and it's not just in the car, man. You can see it everywhere. You go to a restaurant, man, you'll see them all over the place, right? They sit down, the waitress brings chips and salsa, and they say, I didn't order that. And the waitress says, you ain't from around here, are you? Right? So they don't know. It's not their fault. They just don't know. And then if they do try to eat the chips and salsa, dead giveaway, they take the chip, they like touch the salsa. They touch the salsa. And then it's like their objective is to get as much of that off as possible. Right? So they're shaking it. You ever see somebody in a restaurant and they're like shaking? They're wiping it off on their shirt. Anything to avoid eating that. You can tell by the way they eat. You can just, like, they don't like gravy. I don't even know what that means. The other day, We were in a restaurant the other day. There's a table, round table. It's got like a whole family, 6 or 8 people. They ordered, oh, we're sitting right next to them. We can see everything. They ordered everything. They got appetizers. They got their entrees. They got their side dishes. They got dessert. Not one single thing was fried. So I followed them out to their car just to make sure they were okay. Right? And they drove off Connecticut plates. So there you go, man. You can see them. You can see them a mile away. They don't know how to dress. They don't know how to talk. They don't know how to use important words like y'all and ain't and can't, fixin' to, ice house, here in a minute. They don't know these. They're just, when they get here, they're just weird. They don't know how to drive or dress or eat or talk. But then after a while, something beautiful happens. And one day they're sitting at a 4-way stop and they inexplicably wave somebody through. You know, they're driving down the road and for no reason, they wave and smile at a stranger. And now they're using chips like shovels, man. They're in, and the server asks them, hey, do you want a green vegetable? And they're like, you know what I do? Make it fried okra, right? And just bring a little side order of gravy to go with that. And that's, they're like, they're getting it, you know? Now they're dressing right, they're wearing fishing shirts to a funeral, and they're pretty soon they're ain'tin' and can'tin' and yawlin' and fixin' to run up to the ice house here in a minute, you know? And then it's like, what's happening to them? What's happening to them? Texas is happening to them, right? And without even knowing it, they start to conform. And they don't mean to. And they don't try to. They don't have to. It just happens. Just by living here, you know, just by being exposed to the history of Texas and the stories of Texas and the music and the people and the food and the heat of Texas. And if you're one of those people, I just want to say welcome. You are, all of those things are pressing you and squishing you and shaping you into a kind of person, a better person. Yeah, a Texan. And if you're new to the area and you don't see these changes happening, you don't need to go crazy. You don't got to buy a $200,000 truck. You don't got to buy a $1,200 cowboy hat. You don't have to do any of that stuff to become a Texan. Just keep living here. Expose yourself to the people and the stories and the culture and the food and the heat. Texas is forming you, whether you see it happening or not. As far as I know, the Apostle Paul was not a Texan. But I do think he got this concept because he writes to the church at Rome and he tells them to be careful, to be intentional about what is forming them. So this is Romans 12:2, famous verse in the Bible. He says, don't be conformed to the patterns and systems and ways of this world. Instead, he says, we have to be transformed. So he's not talking about some little tweak here, right? He's talking about a metamorphosis. That's what that word means, a complete overhaul, a complete change of the essential nature of someone where they become like a whole new life, where they become a beautiful new creation. And that's the call that Jesus is giving us when he says, follow me. It's not a surface level behavior modification or something like that. It's not just changing what we look like. It's not just changing what we do. It's changing who we are. It is real change, deep change, heart change, soul change, spiritual formation. And what Paul was warning these Christians in Rome about was that they needed to be intentional about their formation, because if they weren't careful, they would be formed or deformed by their environment in Rome. They would be formed by the Roman people and culture and habits and music and food and customs and religion. and that would change them and form them and not for the better. You know, God's people had kind of a history with conforming. 1,600 years before this, in the Old Testament, God called Israel to be a light to the world and to represent his goodness and his love to the world around them. Look at Leviticus 18:3. It specifically says, "Do not act like the people in Egypt where you used to live, or like the people of Canaan where I'm taking you. You must not imitate their way of life." Then it goes on to describe their way of life, and it's all these weird sexual perversions and human sacrifice, child sacrifice. They were literally sacrificing their children to this god Molech, and God says, look, that's how the Canaanites act. Don't do that. Right? Don't act that way. Don't let their culture, don't let their behaviors, don't let their religion shape you and change you. Don't conform to their ways. Remember my ways. You're my people. You need to be holy, because I'm holy. And holy just means like different. It means separate. It means set apart. It means not conformed to the world around them. And the idea was that the Canaanites would see God in the holiness of his people and be attracted to God through the holiness of his people. But instead of them being holy, instead of them being a light in that darkness, they just conformed to the darkness, and they just conformed to the culture and the ethics and the food and the music and the people, and eventually they began worshiping Canaanite gods. And again, it's really easy for us to read these stories and say, what's these people's problem? Like, what is wrong with you? Why would they do that? God just delivered them from slavery. Why would they do, what's wrong with them? But you know what? They didn't do it on purpose. They didn't mean to. It wasn't intentional. It just happened. I'm pretty sure no Israelite ever said, hey, I know, let's become like the Canaanites. Let's worship their gods. Let's adopt their horrible, sinful practices and perversion and child sacrifice. Nobody ever intentionally said, let's go that way instead of this way. No, they just lived in that world. You know, they just, eventually that world pressed them and squished them and formed them and shaped them, and they slowly became conformed to the Canaanites' morals and ethics and food and clothes and culture and music and religion. They were eventually conformed to the world around them. So Paul's like, hey guys, you're Jesus followers, right? You're Jews in Rome. Let's get it right this time. You know, you got a good thing here. You know Jesus, and he wants to transform you. He wants to shape you into his likeness, but that's not going to happen if you're being conformed to the world around you. And so both of these words are in present passive tense. I know nobody cares, but it's important, and here's why. What that's telling us is that formation isn't something just that did happen, and it's not something that's just going to happen. It's something that's happening. Like real time, like right now, all the time. It's happening, and not just to Israel. It's happening to us. Because just like Israel, right now you're being formed. You're either being conformed to the likeness of Jesus, or you're being conformed to the world. You're either being transformed into this new creation in him and his kingdom and his ways, or you're being conformed to the likeness and the ways of this world. No Christian ever said, hey, I know, right? I'm going to conform to this world and its gods. And yet all of us, many of us, piece by piece, are slowly adopting and starting to worship this world's gods, like money, popularity and power and busyness and success and influence and pleasure and comfort. We want those things. Right? We love those things. We hallow those things. Huh. We see, you know, power and success and influence and pleasure. It's like, I have faith in that. Right? I can depend on that to give me purpose and to give me joy and to give me peace, to provide for me. And that's how you treat your God. So it's as true today as it was for God's people in the Bible. We're all being formed. We're either conforming to this world and its ways and its values and its gods, or we're being transformed into the likeness of Jesus and his kingdom and his ways and his values. So the question's not, will I be formed? The question is, will I intentionally choose what will form me or who will form me? And this is really important. Spiritual formation is not a home church deal. And it's not even a Christian deal. It's a human deal, right? To be human is to constantly change, to constantly be formed physically and spiritually. So whether you're a church person or not, whether you're a Jesus person or not, your body, your mind, your spirit is being formed. Mother Teresa was a product of spiritual formation. Hitler was a product of spiritual formation. Both of their spirits were formed by some crazy combination of family and culture and environment and wounds and experience and decisions and education, a whole bunch of stuff. Same for us. We have been, and we are, and we will be formed spiritually. The problem is, for most of us, our spiritual formation is unintentional. So we don't ever sit down and say, like, where is God calling me spiritually, right? Where do I want to get? Like, who do I want to become? And then say, okay, that's where I'm trying to get. Now I'm going to intentionally add events, habits, relationships to my life to help me get there. Instead, what we mostly do is we get up in the morning and we go through our day. And our events and our habits and our decisions and our relationships happen, and they form us. Probably no Christian ever said, I want to be conformed to the patterns of this world, right? No Christian ever said, you know, what I really want is to be mean. What I really want is to be greedy or anxious or depressed or judgy. It just happens just by living in this world. So how do we resist conforming to the patterns of this world? And I think we're moving slowly into this whole concept, right? So I just think this, we have to start, like, an interesting exercise is to start naming the forces in your life now that are forming you now. And so to help with that, the folks at Practicing the Way have put together a little 5-minute video that kind of describes this concept of intentional and unintentional formation. So take a look.
How we become who we become is a sacred mystery of the human soul, taunting the brightest minds of both science and spirituality. But there is a surprising level of agreement across disciplines. We are formed by 6 primary forces: our habits, our relationships, the stories we believe, our environment, time, and experience. The first 4 forces are more active, more about what we do. The last 2 are more passive, more about what is done to us. Let's take a deeper look at each one. We are formed by our habits. What we do on a regular basis, we become. Reading the news, doom scrolling on social media, going to the gym, the things we do something to us. They get into the core of our being and shape who we become. The journalist Charles Duhigg called this the power of habit. It's easy to think we're just watching Netflix or checking email late at night or buying another pair of shoes. But actually, we're turning a kind of invisible fulcrum in our heart in a particular direction. We're becoming a type of person. Secondly, we are formed by our relationships. We become like the people we spend time with. Think about your family and friends. The odds are very high that you dress like them, think like them, talk like them, vote like them, spend money like them, and so on. Third, we are formed by the stories we believe. God wired the human brain to search for meaning, to take all the data points of reality and turn them into a story, a narrative to live in and live out. This is why we love movies and novels and telling stories around the campfire. And every day we are exposed to stories, stories about what is the good life, what will make us happy, and what the meaning and purpose of life even is. These stories shape us far more than we realize. And whatever stories we come to believe are true determine the kind of people we become. For example, one of the reasons so many marriages end in heartache is because no marriage can possibly live up to the story we are told by Hollywood and pop music, which is very different from the story Jesus tells. The stories we believe give shape to the thousands of decisions we make every day, from whether we stay in a marriage, to how we spend our money, to how many hours we spend at work. Pick your stories carefully, because they will determine who you become. And our stories and relationships and habits all come from an environment. Whether you live in a small town or a global city, in a Western secular culture or a traditional religious culture, we all become like the place we live. And in the digital age, we all live in two places at once, in our city or town or area, and in the echo chambers of the algorithms that define our digital home. This may be good or it may be bad, but it is. You will become like your environment. These forces work on us slowly over time. They sneak up on us little by little and have a cumulative effect. We wake up one day and realize we've changed. And through experience, we are deeply shaped not just by what we do, but by what is done to us. Nowhere is this more true than in our family of origin and our childhood, but it's also true of our whole lives. Do we go to college or drop out of high school? Get our dream job or file for bankruptcy? Get married, get divorced, or stay single? Our experiences deeply shape who we become. In summary, we are formed by our habits, relationships, the stories we believe, and our environment. And this happens over time and through experience. We call this paradigm unintentional spiritual formation because it's a synopsis of how we are formed with no intentionality, just by waking up in the morning and going about our day. The question isn't, are you becoming someone? It's, who or what are you becoming?
So if you're visiting, you may not know this, but there's a question I ask sometimes. And when I ask this question, everybody is supposed to raise their hand and scream out, yes! So here's the question.
Yes.
Wait for it. Who's up for something weird?
Yes!
That's why I love you people, man. They pay me to do this. We're going to try a little exercise, and it's going to really probably make you uncomfortable, which is really the best kind of exercise, right? So here's what we're going to ask you to do, bearing that in mind, and in a prayerful, you know, you don't always control every thought in your head, but we can ask God to kind of direct our minds. And so I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and take a couple of deep breaths. And as God is beginning to direct your mind, I want you to imagine yourself, see yourself in 10 years, or in 20 years, or in 30 years, and ask yourself a couple of questions. One, am I okay with what I see? And two, who am I becoming? And so now as you open your eyes, let me just ask you, are you becoming a peaceful, loving, kind, joyful, purposeful person like Jesus? Or are you becoming someone who has no real purpose, who's angry and frustrated and anxious and exhausted? And what changes do you need to make to change the direction of your spiritual formation into the direction of Jesus? And for a lot of us, I think it starts with taking a real hard look at what is shaping us now. So to help you with this, we've got a really great tool. It's a formation audit. It's like a little questionnaire, several pages, probably take you a good 5 or 6 minutes to go through this thing. And it's just to help you kind of take inventory of the forces that are currently forming you. And so it's going to ask you some questions just to see how you have been formed and how you're currently being formed by the things that he said in that video, by your environment and habits and relationships and by the stories that you believe. So you can get the QR code there, or we have paper copies on your way out. The first timer booth out there, if you stop at one of those, they'll give you a paper copy. And it's, you know, nobody's going to see this but you. Just, you know, print it out and give yourself some time, some quiet, real time, and you can pray. God, like, show me, you know, show me who I am, not who I should be, and we'll get to that, right? Show me how I'm doing it now. Show me how I'm living now. And Psalm 139:23, this is David's prayer. Search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting life. So you just print this thing out. You give yourself some time. Pray that prayer. You know, God, show me who I am, and just answer the questions. And it's going to ask you about your habits and your routine and what you do in the morning and what about work and how you sleep, about your relationships with family and friends. And it's just going to help you identify how these patterns and these relationships are forming you. So just as a quick example, maybe you start your day every day looking at the news. Okay, that's not right or wrong. It's not a sin. My dad read the whole newspaper. Old people, remember newspapers? Funniest thing. They put the news on these big pieces of paper. So weird. And a kid would throw them up on your porch every morning. Oh, beaver cleaver. Anyway, my dad read the whole newspaper front to back every single morning that I remember growing up. At the kitchen table, always the same. At the kitchen table in his tidy whities. Yeah. And he had like a pack of Winston cigarettes with a lighter on top sitting right there on one side and his cup of coffee on the other side. That was his routine. He did that every single day. And as I grew up, you know, father, son, right, I kind of developed a similar routine, except I did it on the back porch and I don't smoke. And instead of the newspaper, I use the news app and I don't wear tidy whities because there were some problems with the neighbors. So that was a routine, though. Very similar routine, yeah? And you know what? I don't ever remember saying, you know what I should do? I should sit on the back porch every morning and read. I never said that. It just developed, you know? It just kind of happened. And pretty soon I was doing it. And then I did this audit a little over a year ago. And that started making me think about how that routine is forming me. And about how that habit is forming me, because the news for me is about 90% depressing and frustrating and makes me mad. So I had to ask myself, how is it forming me to cram that down my throat first thing every morning? And what kind of person is that forming me into? Is that forming me into a loving, kind, peaceful person that's close to God? Or is that forming me into a depressed, frustrated, angry, anxious person who's far from God? So I changed that routine. And it's the same with your interactions with people. We want to ask ourselves, not just, you know, in this relationship, do I enjoy the interaction? We also want to ask ourselves, how are those interactions forming me? And we want to ask ourselves, how's my environment forming me? How are the stories I believe shaping me? And nobody else is going to see this thing, and you know, there's no judgment. You don't even have to make any decisions based on this thing right now. It's just an inventory of the forces in your life that are currently forming you. And then next week, especially if you take this audit, we'll be super ready to kind of take this next step into the real meat of this idea, which is, how can we stop being so unintentional about what's forming us? How can we intentionally choose to be formed into the likeness of Jesus? And I'll just tell you guys, something really surprising happened to me this morning. I got up and I was 64 years old. I'm really surprised at how fast that happened. But one day, I'm going to wake up and be 74, or 84, or 104. So are you. And what's going to matter that day is not how much money I made, or how successful I was, or how popular I was, or what I looked like, or dressed like, or how good I was at golf, or whether or not I'd seen the latest movies and stuff. What's going to matter is the person I became. And two of the most important questions we can ask ourselves are, number one, who am I becoming? And number two, am I being intentional about it? Because whether we see it or not, or feel it or not, or sense it or not, how we are living has a huge impact on who we're becoming. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we've got to resist conforming to this world. And next week, we're going to start really digging into how we can be transformed into the likeness of Jesus and how we can be intentional and play a part in that transformation. But that's enough for today. Let's pray. Father, we're just so thankful for this future we have in your kingdom. And it's awesome to know that someday we'll be in a world where all this ugliness isn't here, where there's no cancer and there's no violence and there's no betrayal and there's no death, where we're never separated from each other, where we're fully with you all the time. God, we look so forward to that day, and we're so thankful for Jesus making that possible. And God, we're thankful that Jesus made a way for us to be citizens of that kingdom. And he taught us and he modeled for us what it looks like to live our lives in that kingdom. And it comes with us becoming more like him and less like Adam. And so God, as we're going on this journey, man, this is really new for a lot of us. And so God, I just pray that you'll just keep us on track and just remind us constantly as disciples of Jesus, followers of Jesus, if we're true followers, we've really repented and turned around. We don't just want a little Jesus sprinkled into our regular lives. We want to be transformed into his likeness. That means we have to dedicate ourselves to being with him and becoming like him and doing the things that he did. So God, show us this week how the world around us is forming us, and bring us back next week so we can see how to let Jesus form us. In his name, amen.